Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. The biblically consistent righteousness of Christ subjects regarding fasting. I remember when I was a child growing up, I'd read passages in the scripture about fasting, praying and fasting, and I looked around, I never saw anybody practicing it, and I had lots of questions about it. I feel that's often a situation that Christians have, so I thought, well, we'll deal with that tonight. When Jesus said that one's righteousness had to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees if he were to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, he had to clarify to his Hebrew listeners how that could be. For the Pharisees adhered to the principle of halakha, concern for every jot and tittle of performance regarding the Mosaic law. Well, Matthew 5:21-7:6 provides many illustrations of Jesus' point, with Matthew 6:9-13 exampling how his kingdom righteousness and the subject, actually it should be Matthew chapter 6 verses 16-18 exampling how his kingdom righteousness and the subject of fasting far surpassed that of the Pharisees. I have to get back to the computer and get that ready for the internet. Well, let's look at the passage and then we'll get into it. Matthew chapter 6 verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men as to fast. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Well, when Jesus mentioned fasting in Matthew 6:16, he introduced a subject that creates a lot of questions for Christians today because various charismatic believers practice fasting and many other Christians do not. Years ago, I remember speaking with a believer who was charismatic, and he talked about how he fasted and how he felt closer to the Lord and, you know, went on and on, and I was kind of surprised at that. But apparently a lot of people in the charismatic movement in particular will fast. And I've heard occasionally of Christians going without food and praying, but it was never commanded, and we never grew up with that as part of our background. Well, in Scripture, fasting always had a spiritual purpose and is never presented as having any value in and of itself. Dr. John MacArthur, in the MacArthur New Testament Commentary, Matthew 1-7, points this out. There never is an innate value to fasting itself. It won't, per se, improve your relationship with God. Actually, the only fast that is ever commanded in Scripture is the one connected with the Day of Atonement, when all the people of Israel were to humble their souls, and then they were to fast. Now, a Hebrew expression that included forsaking food is an act of self-denial. That was a national fast involving every man, woman, and child in Israel, and it occurred one time a year, only as part of the Day of Atonement. Now, since the Christian is no longer under the law as to its jurisdiction, remember Romans chapter 7, 4-6 says that we're dead to the law, the Christian does not observe the Day of Atonement with its fast, so God does not require Christians to fast today. You notice in the notes how I put that in dark. God does not require anyone in the church today to fast. It's not a requirement. However, the Jewish people added fasts, and many Pharisees fasted twice a week, according to Luke 18:12. Remember, the young man came to Jesus and said, I fast twice a week, and so forth. He thought that he was living a life that was righteous. Well, usually they fasted only on the second and fifth days of the week. Those 2 days happened to be major Jewish market days when cities and towns were crowded. They were therefore the 2 days when public fasting would have the largest audiences in which the Pharisees could impress their onlookers. So fasting was important in the fact that you wanted to look good in front of other people and you look spiritual. I mean, these guys... The Pharisees did everything openly. They were very external, and they thought that if they impressed men, that they were therefore impressing God. That's the way they came from. Anyway, there's actually nothing wrong before the Lord in fasting as a Christian. Many Old Testament saints practice it. People like Samuel and Hannah and David and Esther and Daniel and Jesus and Paul in the New Testament, dispensation of grace. John, the Apostle John, fasted. Anna and John the Baptizer in the New Testament fasted. But Jesus' concern in this passage was the way the Pharisees misused the practice to parade a false righteousness before others instead of using it in a righteous manner. So we're going to look at what Jesus did in complaining. You'll notice when he starts off in verse 16, he says, now you have heard it in, said in the past. He doesn't say when you've heard it and said in the past that you must fast. He says, whenever you fast. Whenever you fast, this is how you're supposed to do it. He asserted that whenever his disciples fasted, they were not to be as the hypocritical Pharisees who fixed themselves up to look like they were suffering from hunger before the throngs they were trying to impress on their fast days. For that type of hypocrite had its reward, the approval of the human onlookers in the marketplace. Verse 16, for they disfigured their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's interesting, Jesus had repeatedly mentioned this, they have the reward. If you're doing anything, and if we are doing anything to impress people, that's the only reward that we have, impressing people. It doesn't impress God at all. With God, we have to do it as unto him, and it's not for show that exalts us. It's all of our efforts should exalt God, not ourselves. If we're exalting ourselves, we're doing that which is in the flesh, and it's not of the Lord. Well, whenever his disciples chose to fast, they would present themselves before others in such a way that onlookers would not even know that they were fasting. In verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, clean up and look fresh, that you do not appear unto men to fast, but unto your Father, which sees in secret. It's very important that if we do choose to fast as believers, in an effort to minister to the Lord or to separate ourselves unto the Lord, it should never be something that attracts public attention to people around us. It should always be a very private thing. Now, God in heaven would see the secret suffering of hunger, and upon seeing it would openly reward the believer godly for the godly motive that is behind it. Now, we're going to talk just a little bit here about the conditions under fasting and why they fasted in the Old Testament. And it's different. Completely different from the way a lot of Christians today fast. A lot of Christians today fast either trying to impress God or trying to grow spiritually. Just the opposite was true of the Old Testament saints. When Old Testament saints fasted, a lot of times it was like tearing their own clothes. Normally it came with a situation of great grief or distress. And to demonstrate how you were relying on God and you needed his help in a situation, you would also fast, which also reminded you of your need for God, because when you fast, you get weak. And it's to remind the supplicant of his weakness before God. It's not to build himself up. And in that context, God accepted fasting because the person was demonstrating his need for God. So, fasting is not a required practice, nor is it a means of improving our Christian walk. But if we choose to fast, it is to be practiced as an expression of a heartfelt concern over some issue of testing, trial, or struggle before the Lord, as was practiced by believers throughout Scripture. I really think that the godly believers put fasting together with something when you're with intense suffering. If a believer is intensely suffering under a trial, let's say he is getting ready to go to the funeral of a spouse or something like that, he doesn't feel like eating. He may not want to eat that day. It's just food is not appetizing. And I think that came to be associated with fasting. So fasting is something that was associated with an expression of tremendous need or suffering in the person who is appealing to God. If we choose to fast, it should not be practiced in a way that impresses onlookers and exalts ourselves, but expressed our private reliance on God for his help, with the hunger of fasting being a symbol of human weakness and need before him, and God will publicly honor our appeal according to his will. Now, in saying that, I also want to say we shouldn't fast in order to try to make God feel sorry for us so that we can manipulate him to answer our prayer the way we want. If it's done with a motive of manipulation, it won't work. Nobody can manipulate God. But if we are expressing genuine need from within, it is acceptable to God. So we have to be very careful. God reads our motives, so we better really be careful and examine ourselves and our motives and make sure that they're pure before the Lord before we interact with him in prayer in any way or if we choose to fast and whatnot. And once again, like we're saying, we're not saying a person shouldn't fast. It's never commanded for the Christian. We're not saying he shouldn't, but if you do fast, fast the right way. So fasting was required under the law, only for the Day of Atonement. But since we are not under the law, we're not required to fast. However, if we do fast, it should express a need for God's help and be practiced in private, not for show, but for other people, that God may meet our heart's needs. So if we choose to fast, may it be done in privacy and in humility before the Lord and for his help. Years ago, when I was at Bible college, a situation came up, and I really wanted to see the Lord answer a prayer in a certain way, so I chose not to eat a meal that day or a couple of meals, I forget what it was, and I spent a lot of time in prayer. And the Lord never answered that prayer because it wasn't in his will. But that was the only exercise I ever practiced in regards to fasting, and no one else knew what was going on at the time. But I look back on it now, and I think the Lord was looking down and from heaven, kind of shaking his head. He says, well, that boy's going to have to learn some things. You know, he was kind and he put up with it. But I was 19 years of age at the time, and I meant it. You know, it was from a heart that was pure. But it wasn't what I was praying for. It wasn't the will of God. But God is very kind towards us, and he's very gentle towards us. So anything we choose to do, it could be fasting, could be donating time, set aside. Sometimes Christians have like a personal retreat where they'll go off to a park and just spend time with the Lord and their Bible and so forth, just to get away from the cares of the world and do that. Whatever we do, it needs to be something that expresses a heartfelt commitment. The Jewish people of Jesus' day and Paul's day used to practice fasting. That was part of their lives. It's just like prayer meeting is for us. It was just something that they did, and it was genuine, and God accepted it. Fasting is awkward for us because that's not part of our life. But I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. If you choose to fast, just make sure it is with the right motive, and it is done in humility and submission to God. And God will bless you.